Chapter 10. Navarro. Din watched as the guild assistants loaded the backlog of carbonite-frozen bounties from the hold of the Razorcrest. It'd been quite a while since he'd checked in on Navarro, much to Grief Karga's irritation. But the man's mood had improved when he'd seen just how many credits he was going to get out of Din's haul. The man stood beside him, hands on his hips, no doubt mentally calculating what his cut was going to be. "Whatever happened with that bounty ordered by the Haxian Brood? I don't recall you ever bringing him in," Karga asked eventually, breaking the silence. Din's gloved fingers found the hilt of one of his Beskar knives, safely sheathed at his belt. "No idea. They broke contract, so it's not my problem anymore. Sent out another hunter of their own to do the job." Normally, such a breach wouldn't have bothered him. He'd have just killed the other hunter and taken the quarry in, maybe gotten some extra credits for the inconvenience. But Karga didn't have to know that. His handler frowned slightly, but didn't press the issue. "Your payment will be ready by the end of the day. You can join me at the cantina then to pick up another round of pucks." Din nodded. When the Razor Crest had been emptied of its prizes, Din locked the ship up from the controls on his vambrace and went on his way. En route to the covert, he stopped by a street vendor to pick up a good-sized bag of brightly colored sweets for the foundlings. As he was passing over his credits, Din began to get the prickly, hair-raising sensation that often accompanied being watched. He turned to scan the crowd, but no one seemed to be paying any more attention to him than usual. All the same, he thanked the vendor and hastened his pace. He wasn't nervous for his own sake. Any altercations he had on this planet threatened not only him, but the guild and his tribe as well. He was only a few buildings away from the alley and the secret entrance down to the underbelly of the city when someone caught up to him. "Su Kui Gar," Amando Odd said behind him. Din rolled his eyes and turned to scold them for coming to the surface while Din was here, in broad daylight, and remind them how it was important for the safety of the covert that they not be seen in groups. But it wasn't a Mandalorian. It was Cal Kestis, with BD-1 in tow. He'd been leaning against a storefront Din had just passed, and he'd completely failed to notice him. Cal's poncho was a deep teal color today, with a broad, vertical white stripe down one side. Din's eyes were drawn to a long, red gash that couldn't have been more than a week or two old, curling up from Cal's neckline all the way to his jaw. From a blade, if Din had to guess, it looked painful. "Mevar Tigar?" Cal asked, sounding pleased with himself, as he pushed off the wall. Din turned slowly to continue down the street, and Cal fell into step beside him. He meant to ask what Cal was doing on Navarro, which was effectively Din's home planet, while the covert remained in the sewer of its capital city. But instead he found himself saying, "Your accent has improved." "Vore, you didn't answer my question, though." "I'm fine," Din said. "Take care when you speak it. Mandoa isn't as common as it once was." He pointedly did not ask how, or more pressingly, why, Cal had learned his language. "I wasn't planning on incorporating it into my everyday vocabulary," Cal replied. "Although some of the insults are catchy." Din smiled behind his helmet.
"What are you doing here?"
"Looking for you." Din couldn't help the way his footfalls stuttered in the dirt. "There's a lot of Hunter Guild activity here. I figured you had to turn up eventually."
"How long have you been waiting?"
Din asked, alarmed. "Only a few days." Din breathed a sigh of relief that fortunately wasn't picked up by his vocorder.
"I haven't been back in months. You have good timing."
Cal laughed lightly. "So I've been told." They were nearly at Din's destination, and he couldn't be seen loitering there. He stepped neatly in front of his companion and placed a hand on his shoulder, gently halting him. Green eyes widened, slightly, in innocent interest.
"Look, I can't talk here, and I need to take care of something."
Din hesitated.
Where's your ship?
Just on the other side of town, Cal replied. Meet me there later?
Din nodded,
then reluctantly released the man's poncho-clad shoulder. Shortly after they parted, Din descended into the darkness and damp air of the covert. His palms still felt warm from the brief contact. He looked down at his hand and flexed his fingers experimentally, hoping to banish the sensation. It was so rare that he touched someone without the intent to injure them, he figured. That was all.
Still got 'em all?
A voice grumbled, modulated by a helmet. It was Paz Vizsla. His large, blue-armored tribe mate was blocking his way, head cocked to the side.
What? Your fingers. Or did you leave some with your burkya up there?
Paz must have seen Cal on the security system. The tribe had the whole area monitored.
He's not my friend.
The lie tasted bad in Din's mouth. Paz huffed.
Whatever. Move. I've got an appointment.
He pushed by without waiting for Din to move out of the way, knocking their pauldrons together, then stomped heavily up the narrow stairs to the surface. Din watched after Paz until his large shadow vanished around the bend in the staircase. Cal loitered after the Mandalorian had turned down his dark alley, pretending to check out a display of pottery a little way down the street. He didn't mean to snoop, not really, but the Mandalorian had seemed anxious, and it was in Cal's nature to worry. He waited until, barely a minute later, someone emerged from the same alley. A Mandalorian, but not Cal's Mandalorian. This one was taller, bulkier, with dark blue armor and a heavy blaster cannon strapped to his back. Maybe that was why his Mandalorian had made them part ways so abruptly. His family, or tribe, must be living in hiding not far from here. He hadn't wanted to draw attention to them. The blue Mandalorian looked around, surveying. Then his T-visor locked on Cal. Cal didn't have time to decide whether or not to slink away and escape the situation before the Mandalorian was directly in front of him. He towered over Cal and was twice his width as well.
Tionad Kuir Gar?
I'm nobody, Cal replied, before realizing, belatedly, that it might have been wiser to feign incomprehension. The Mandalorian hummed, producing a low, mechanical rumble through his helmet. He looked Cal up and down, and Cal stared back.
Nobody, huh?
There was something knowing in his tone that made Cal wonder, not for the first time, if his Mandalorian had guessed what Cal was, had perhaps even told his fellow Mandalorians. Cal hadn't really been hiding that he was a Jedi. He was never without his lightsaber, though it stayed tucked in the folds of his many ponchos. He used the Force in his friend's presence several times now, and even though in more subtle ways than the stereotypical lifting of rocks, it wouldn't be the hardest deduction. Look, Cal said, raising his hands in a placating gesture. If he did know, he had every right to be suspicious of Cal. I mean no harm to your people, and I'm certainly no threat to your tribe mate. I swear it.
The blue Mandalorian grunted. I should think not. You are too small to be a threat to him.
Cal forced himself not to bristle at the words. He was perfectly average height for a humanoid, thank you very much, and he had the Force.
We'll be watching you, nobody,
the blue Mandalorian said. He took one last step forward into Cal's space, a warning, then turned away, down the street in the opposite direction, leaving Cal alone with his speculations. Din found the Mantis late in the afternoon, after he'd finished his business at the covert and met with Karga. The ship's entry ramp was lowered and the doors were open, but he approached cautiously, not wanting to startle the occupants. The last time he'd been near the Mantis, he'd abducted the pilot. He was saved from wondering if he should wait outside by one of Cal's companions, the older woman, appearing in the doorway. She was wearing the same layered robes Din had seen her in before, and her face was a mask of impassivity.
"Come in," she said. "We've been expecting you."
Din hadn't had time to take in the interior of the Mantis before. It was a well-equipped ship, much more suited to long stretches of travel than his own. Though clearly cared for, the worn seating and scuffed floors indicated years of continual use. Someone on board really liked houseplants. There was a large overgrown planter, and then several smaller terrariums scattered alongside holopics and stacks of reading material in the common area. Towards the back of the ship, there was a raised galley with a dining table littered with calf mugs and data pads. Much like the Razor Crest, Din could tell that this ship was home to its occupants, rather than just a means of transportation. In the common area, the old Latero, Dritus, in his red flight jacket, sat on a sofa that curved around a table, gathering a pile of sabacc cards together with two of his hands. "You," he said sternly, crossing both pairs of arms, "are not allowed in the cockpit."
"That's fair," Din replied.
"You're damn right that's fair."
"I'm sorry, for what it's worth."
Din shifted awkwardly. The Latero huffed, but unfolded his arms and finished putting the deck away in its box.
"Well, that's Grease, as you know," the woman said, moving past Din and locking up the ship before turning to him again. "I'm Seer."
"Thank you for having me,"
Din said with a nod, grateful that they didn't seem to expect his name in return.
"Kyle said he needed to talk."
"Yes, we..."
Seer started, but cut herself off when Cal came jogging up from the back of the ship, followed by his droid and a pale, silver-haired woman in a red and black tunic.
"Sorry, I just had to replace..." "Hey!" Cal beamed when he saw Din. "You're here!"
"You invited me."
"Right, yeah, thanks."
Cal ran a hand through his hair, then gestured towards the woman beside him. "This is my friend Marin. She travels with us sometimes." Marin inclined her head.
"I have heard far too much about you," she said.
She had a thick accent that was unfamiliar to Din.
"Really?"
Din asked, puzzled.
"Really?"
"Okay," Cal interrupted, his cheeks slightly pink. "Well, I'm sure you're curious about why you're here."
He paused to take a seat at the end of the sofa. "The short answer is, we'd like to hire you for a job." Din was grateful that his helmet hid his surprise. Sure, Cal seemed to get himself into trouble, but neither he nor his family seemed the type to hire a bounty hunter. And even if they did need to take someone out, Din was fairly certain that Cal would be as efficient as him, if not more so.
"Why?"
Cal looked like he was about to reply, but Seer beat him to it.
"We can't disclose any details until you accept the job."
Cal closed his mouth and looked apologetically at Din, who hesitated.
"I'm expensive," he said finally.
He detected an amused sniff from the pale woman, Marin, but the rest looked unfazed.
"Don't worry about that," Seer said. "We can settle your fee later. We have access to plenty of credits."
If it had been anyone else, the deal would have been too ambiguous for Din. But it was Cal, and inexplicably, Din trusted him.
"All right, I accept. What's the job?"
"You'll be traveling with us to Barin, a moon of Geonosis. You're going to help us find a valuable artifact," Cal said. Then his face twisted into a grimace. "We tried to get it ourselves, just Seer and I, but it's well protected."
Din eyed Cal's fresh injury. "Protected by what?"
"Droids," Cal replied. "A lot of droids."